Welcome to church today, and thank you guys. That was wonderful. So today, this month, we're talking about launching well into this year, into 2024. We've had a great month of January of different people sharing and hearing their hearts, which is always really inspiring and great. And it might seem strange that we're launching into 2024 now, like we're a bit late, Maria, like it's already February. But, you know, for some of us, we've had a bit of a, you know, I've had the pleasure of having a bit of a holiday, and for most of us now, we're really ramping up that 2024 is definitely upon us. And today I would like to, for all of us to imagine, not that it's February the 4th, but it's actually December the 31st. We're actually at New Year's Eve 2024, and we're looking back over the year and we're imagining what it is we would like to be able to say about our year. You know, I'm sure there are things we'd like to be able to say, like, I'm really glad I got to do whatever. I achieved this. I grew closer to God. My relationships are deeper, whatever it might be. It's good to imagine what is it that you would like to be able to say at the end of the year, to really, you know, what is it that God's putting on your heart, your passion that you would like to say at the end of the year, yeah, I got to really walk that out. I know for myself, I'm getting to step into something new. I'm going to be teaching a subject at Table Bible College for this semester, so I'm excited about that. And I'm hoping, my hope and plan is that by the end of the year, I can look back and think, oh, thank you, God, for that opportunity, for that God opportunity. And I was able to do what I had in my heart to do, to better speak into the lives of those students, to see the next generation of those caring for our communities, to better speak into their lives. That's what I'm hoping I'll be able to say when I get to the end of the year. You know, I'm hoping to say about our beautiful community here that, you know, in my heart, in planning, that we keep growing in our sense of community, that small groups really do start to take off and people actually join and really glean the benefit of walking life out with one another, because there's nothing like it. It's beautiful and people get it and we all get it together. And which reminds me, if you want to lead a group, join a group, you can go and see Toe as well. We're going to have a great family camp again in July this year, in the middle of July. So, you know, I hope I can say at the end of the year, wow, that was a great camp. Everyone came and, you know, we had such a great sense of community celebrating together, and we had fun and we enjoyed God together. What about you? What are you hoping that you can say about this year? Paul writes to the church in Corinth and says this. He says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. So for this year, you and I have got the freedom to choose what we want to do. We could do anything, you know. But as new creations, we now have the power and the capacity to choose well what we do. Because Paul is saying, you know, whatever the outcome is, we want it to be beneficial. You want it to benefit you, to build you up, to be constructive. And he goes on to say, whatever you do choose to do, do it all for the glory of God. He's saying, choose well and keep God at the centre of your choices and of what you're doing. So how are we going to do that? How do we keep growing in God and keep God central, reflecting his power and his goodness in our life to others? What would that actually look like as we walk out this year? How do we keep Jesus centre at the centre of all that we're doing. We just sung about that Jesus. We want Jesus to be the centre of everything, but how are we going to actually do it? Because we need to cooperate and partner with that. So let's start this year right where we are now. And it's really important to know where you're at. Be real where you're at so that we know how we can reach the goal that you have in mind, the God-given goal, and how we can live centered around God this year. Because I know you're that like me, we want to keep Jesus centered, don't we? And we want to be able to say, yes, we've achieved all the things that God set out for us to do. So let's consider how will we live? How are we actually going to do it? Because we can talk about it, but we want to know steps. Well, I do, because it's not just going to happen. What's going to be the rhythm of life that we can walk into? What is God's good rhythm? And that's what I want to talk today. What's God's good rhythm for us to walk out and live in this year? So looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, and this is from the Message translation, which is pretty amazing, saying, take your everyday ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, going to work and walking, everything you do, and place it before God as an offering. So it's saying right from the very beginning, God's good rhythm starts with letting God in. You know, place it before God. Place everything that you do in your day-to-day, let God in to your daily life, your daily habits, and yield it to Him. Give it to Him because He's only got good purposes for you. So let God in. And embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Embracing God. Embracing. Let what God's done for you be the most important and valuable and beautiful thing that he does. He's come to earth to die for you and for me. You have new life. You have eternal life. You have His very presence with you. How awesome. And I love the way they're saying, embrace it. Hold on tight to this. This is really great and good news. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. I really like how Paul says this because Paul knows how we're made. It's really easy to walk through life and not think. You just do your day to day, and it's very easy to let the surrounding culture and people influence us. That's why he's writing it. It's really easy to do that. He's saying, but don't do that. Acquire God's good rhythm and be intentional about your focus. Think and reflect about what you're doing and how you're living. Don't live without thinking, but think, reflect, and keep your attention, your focus on your beautiful God that loves you so much. And so what's the result? So we go on to the next verse. It says, you'll be changed from the inside out. God's going to do something inside you that you can't do yourself. He's going to change you from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. You'll be able to do that. You'll readily know how God is working in your life and respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. God brings the best out of you. That is God's heart. He wants you and me to be the best yous and me's that He's always wanted for us, the way He's always created for you to be. He wants the best for you. He wants you to be the best you that you can be. So if we think about the rhythm of life, how we get up and get on with our day, you know, we all have a rhythm of life. It can be intentional and it can be unintentional. We just get on. We don't really give it a lot of thought. And so I'm really encouraging us and myself that we really do give this thought and start to consider our ways and our rhythm. So a question is, how do we make choices in order to create space for God to do his transforming work in us? So we want to develop a good rhythm. And this whole idea of good rhythms is not a new idea. A guy called Benedict, many of you may have heard about him. He lived in the, he was born in year 540 AD, a little while ago. He was pretty impressive the way he lived, that he's called Saint Benedict. And but he was a guy that was born into a really wealthy and comfortable family in Rome. He was in a Roman, comfortable, wealthy family. But he had a revelation. He had a revelation from God that the life that he was living and the culture that he was in was so anti-God that he was struck by the reality of that, and he fled the society and the comfort that he lived in, and he lived in a 3 meter by 3 meter cave alone. Pretty drastic, but he thought, this is drastic times, it deserves a drastic response. So he did that, and he spent his life there in solitude and asking God, God, where are you? How do I make you center of my life? How do I live that is bringing you glory in the midst of all this? How do I do that, Lord? How do I live? He wanted to know what was God's rhythm, good rhythm to live by. And what he came to, the backbone of his rhythm, was to live a life of prayer, in contemplation, in thinking about God, in focusing on God, and living a life of love in community. So as we live out our life of God, we don't do it on our own. We always are doing it with everyone else. So we grow in our love with God, and we grow in our understanding of how we flesh that out here and impact those around us. So let's be like St. Benedict and humble ourselves before God to hear what God's plans are in our hearts, that we can then walk them out in this life. Jesus says this to us in Matthew 11:28, which I think has such great language on the next slide. And Jesus invites us, he says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Get away from the hustle and bustle. Come away with me. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So these rhythms, beautiful rhythms of life that God invites us to, is not meant to be onerous. It's not meant to be like a heavy yoke, but it's a flowing with the Lord. It's a flowing with the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to have Holy Spirit-empowered rhythms of life. That's Jesus' invitation to us. And Jesus is a wonderful model as we look at the life that he led, as we read the Gospels. And we see that he was never in a hurry. He was attentive to his Father and loved on the community around him. And he was... Something I do notice is that he was never in a hurry. Do you ever see Jesus in a hurry in the stories that we read? He wasn't rushing here or rushing there. No. And he wasn't upset. You know, his environment didn't sort of rattle him. You know, he slept in the storm. Even when his friends asked him, Jesus, please come and heal our brother. He was late to that. Lazarus died. But he wasn't on everyone else's timetable. He was moving in these learned unforced rhythms of grace being led by the Holy Spirit. Because when he healed Lazarus, he said, this will give God the greater glory. So we can think in our minds, oh, yeah, we've got to get there quickly. But always be listening to what. How is the Lord leading you in each moment to go with his rhythm? You know, busyness, being productive, is quite a great deception that we have. You know, always be on the go, 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 quick. You can't be sitting down relaxing. No, you got to go. Do this, do that. And sometimes it's a bit hard to get away from that because, you know, we could be in our work situation. And I know as a nurse, when I was working as a nurse, it was taboo to ever see a nurse sit down. If you had a moment where you'd actually done your work, you think, great, I can sit down for a minute. They go, you can't be sitting down. Go and fold this up and do that. And think, oh, you know. So, you know, sometimes it's sort of put on us all the time. So when you get home, it's like, oh, I've got to keep going and being productive and I've got to make my house fantastic every 5 minutes, you know. You can't do that. And I don't, it can be a bit of a bind that we get ourselves in. But if we look at the life of Jesus, we don't see that. God's heart for us is that we live spirit-empowered rhythms and relationships that create and redeem and sustain and transform us. And each person's rhythm, or how you live and how I live, will be really different because we've got different personalities, we're gifted differently. You know, there might, you're in a different, you could be in a different season of life. There might be sin patterns that you're contending with that God is helping you to deal with. Or there could be places where God is trying to stretch you that might be different to me. So my rhythm and my focus will be different. A really helpful picture I find about this whole idea of rhythm is to think about a grapevine. Now, a mature, well-cultivated grapevine has lots of fruit on it, bountiful fruit. And when we don't have a defined rhythm of life, if we're not living with that sense of intent, we can become like a wild, untamed grapevine. And we will have some fruit, but we won't have the abundance that we could have. And we might become a bit, little bit more vulnerable to things that threaten our growth and our spiritual maturity without cultivating rhythms. And I'm going to go through what that actually looks like in a moment. Without a rhythm, we might find that we can tend to wander. We tend to become unintentional again about how we live, be impacted by culture and people around us. A good way to think about a rhythm of life is like the trellis that the grapevine grows beautifully around. And so the trellis is like the rhythm of life, is like the unconscious, is like the conscious intentional plan that we have so that the Lord can help us to grow and become really, really fruitful. So by choosing to have God's good rhythm, we are intentionally wanting to create a space for God to do his work of formation and transformation to align ourselves more fully with his will and his word and his design of who he created you to be. So just the next slide, just to point out the rhythm of life again. It's just a well thought out intentional description of how you want to live your life for the glory of Jesus, because we want to keep Jesus center. It's a plan to keep Jesus at the center, or the canter, of everything we do. So we can think about, we want to keep Jesus at the center. So, every time we're doing an activity, we can ask ourselves, oh, is this activity or these people I'm connected with, is it making me more like Jesus? Does it express my love for Jesus and for others? And A rhythm of life is a type of beginning with the end in mind and then reverse engineering it with practices and habits to end there. So we started with thinking about how would we like to end this year? What would we like to be able to say about our life for this year in 2024? So now on February the 4th, we get to start putting in practices and start to reflect about how and strategies to get us to that point. So the next one is just a bit of an example. So Peter Scazzaro, you might have heard his name, he's written some great books about how to live authentically for God. Now he has this as a bit of an example, and he had American dream in the middle rather than having God in the middle. And I thought I'd put in Australian dream just to sort of bring it up. And you might look at this and think, well, this person's not doing too bad. I mean, if you look at these different areas, and you can add whatever you like, but he's done it in these four areas. So prayer, you know, go to church once to twice a month. So, you know, he's trying to get there. Get my children to the best schools. Pray family, that's great. I'll buy a beautiful house, you know, praying for those sorts of things. Say grace, great. Relationships, this is an area to really consider. Who do you really want to invest in? Who's important in your life? So he's got some, yeah, reasonable ones there. Rest, having time off. Saturdays and Sundays off. Enjoy as much fun as possible without sinning. I thought, I have a feeling a few people probably live like that, you know, rather than, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm going to do whatever I want, but I'm just trying to do it to the point where I don't quite cross that line. I'm not quite sure that that's being led by the Holy Spirit. But anyway, go on your vacation. Work, you know, available for work 24/7. Motivational books, I think this person's a go, go, go person. Move up the ladder. Make as much money as possible. Build up my retirement fund. Serve at church, if they ask me. Otherwise, I'm running out the door as soon as the service finishes. So, you know, some bits you think, well, they're not bad, you know. They've reflected and this is what they came up with, what they want to do. You know, obviously, yeah, is God the centre? There's room for improvement, you know. There's a lot of satisfaction for self it'd be great to see a bit more commitment to relationships and church. The next one is Peter Scazzaro actually kind of, oh, this is who I am. Now, in looking at this, you know, we're all different and he does it all the time. And it's actually a good habit to do every 3 months because we are in different seasons. Our seasons keep changing. So, you know, he's got quite specific things about what he's going to do in terms of prayer and growing in his relationship with God, about what he's going to do. And he's always looking at this. Relationships, he's going to really invest in his wife. He's decided who's really important, because in life we can have a lot of people wanting our time and attention, but we can't be everywhere all at once. We need to make decisions about who we're going to invest maybe in this next 3 months. Rest, you know, rest and exercise and relaxation, what are you going to do? And in that one too, we can see there's a little line and with stuff underneath. So he's actually thinking about what he wants to do, but also the barriers that stop him from living a really healthy rhythm. He's wanting to limit social media and limit speaking, because he's a speaker that gets asked. So he thinks, yeah, I can easily overdo that. I need to cull that. And with work, he's got his stuff that he likes to do. But then he realises, actually for me, right where I'm at, I really sense that I need to actually not do as much of the writing that I do. And I need to think before I say yes to different commitments. So that's for him. The next slide's about, I quite like this one. I saw this online. It's about a family. And they actually sit down and work out a rhythm for their family. So I reckon for families, see, this is really cool. So to think about, relationship, what can we do as a family to help us grow in the next few months? Deeper together, deeper with God, have some fun, play games, spiritual. let's grow in our relationship to God, with God together. You know, reading the Bible, going to church and worshipping together. Physical, going for walks, healthy meals. Oh, that's another good thing, isn't it? At the end of the end of the year, you know, how healthy, you know, losing weight, all that fitness. We'll keep moving on. Financial, what are you going to do with your money? It's a good thing to think about as a family, you know, our tithe, you know, we're doing that, we're giving time for that. Buying only what we need. Do we need to think a bit more about how we are spending our money? Missional, how can we as a family reach out to our neighbours and our friends? Let's actually be specific and write things down that we want to do as a family for the next 3 months. So these are some great ideas. Today, just the next slide, I'm going to actually hand out some rhythm of life worksheets. So there will also be a soft copy for this. No, not yet. Oh, thanks, honey. Oh, he's very keen. So on one side, we've got where you can fill in, and then there's some instructions on the back. And you might have some other areas that you want to fill in. But I think what's something that's important is that it's something to do regularly, like every 3 months. And, you know, you might find that, say, like that bottom area of relationships, that maybe there's some tricky stuff happening in your family right now, and you really need to focus your time and your energy on that. Now, if that's the case, all of us only have a certain amount of time and a certain amount of energy. My available time and energy will be different to yours. But that means that if you're focusing a lot on relationships, then you won't be able to put so much time in those other three areas. You can't go hard at all of them because you don't have capacity for that. You're only one person. And so what is going to be important with this is working out what are your non-negotiables. So in terms of your relationship with God, what's your non-negotiable that you are wanting to maintain no matter what? What's your non-negotiable in terms of rest that you're going to want to maintain no matter what? You see where I'm going. So it's really important to reflect. And this takes time. And I'm looking forward to doing Toe this week, because it's actually good if you can do it with someone else or fill it out and show to someone else and think, do you reckon this is actually doable? Or, you know, are there things in my life where you see God really wanting to stretch me that I could actually include in here? One of the key things is in all of this to take baby steps. I wouldn't suggest that you put under prayer, get up at 6 a.m. every morning to do half an hour prayer followed by half an hour of Bible reading. I have a feeling it might not happen very consistently, and you'll feel yoked. Remember Jesus? Take my yoke upon you. It's easy and light. And so for some of us too, when we're writing down things, some of us need a lot of structure. Like, well, and if you don't write a time, you know it won't happen. So you really want to try and be accountable to yourself about what you want to do and how you want to do it. Others will be able to get it done but don't need that structure. And we're all different. So give yourself a lot of grace. And just as I come to finish talking about this, you know, I think the acid test or evaluation about if we've got a good rhythm, you know, what that acid test might be. If we think back to what Paul wrote to the church in Rome in chapter 14, verse 17, he said, you know, as kids of the kingdom, you are filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you're finding that you've got no peace, that you've got no joy, then maybe there's something not quite in alignment or quite right with your rhythm. Maybe you need to spend more time actually in prayer and less time hanging out with some of the people you're hanging out with, to let God cultivate who you are and who He is in your life and in your heart. Let me pray. thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this new year. And Lord, as we sit here this afternoon, we want to end well. And Lord, would you help us to launch well, to keep you central, Jesus, in all of who we are. Help us, Lord, to learn this year your unforced rhythms of grace, your good rhythm for us as we walk with you, Jesus. So, Lord, we give you permission to come in and to start moving in our hearts and our minds, to rearrange what you need to, because we love walking with you. And, Lord, we look forward to this great adventure of living in these unforced rhythms of your grace. How awesome you are. And we say to 2024, bring it on, because we want to end well and live each day well with you, Jesus, to be present with you, Lord, and present to those around us. And we give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Holly, could you please come and speak? Lead worship. That's what I want you to do.
In response to that, let's sing this next song. So if you'd like to stand.